Now he's going to get an answer. He's had the vision now, that vision which would encourage him, of course, but now there is sent a heavenly messenger. And verse 10, I'm reading of the 10th chapter of Daniel. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. You see, apparently he was just sprawled down on the floor, wherever he was, just sprawled down there, not just on his all fours, but absolutely prone with the earth. The hand now touches him, the hand of a heavenly messenger. And this heavenly messenger apparently was sent by the post-incarnate Christ to answer Daniel's petition. Who could he be? Well, I have suggested Gabriel, since Gabriel had been the messenger on former occasions, and he was the messenger in the New Testament to make the first announcement. It could be here, or it could be just any other angel, but we are going to find out now something about him. Verse 11, he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. You see, Daniel at first was prone upon the ground. He was horizontal with the ground. And now he's brought up on his all fours. Now he's told to stand up. And again, he's reminded of the fact that he's a man greatly beloved. That's a nice reputation to have in heaven, by the way. And so he gets now up on his feet. Now we read verses 12 and 13 in the 10th chapter of Daniel. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, for the first time, friends, a veil is lifted momentarily, and it reveals a heavenly warfare that is going on. It reveals that there's a great deal more about this universe that you and I live in than meets the eye. And there's a great deal more than we know today. And we ought not to try to know any more, though, than is revealed. But now let's see what we have here. It opens the unseen world to us. It reveals a conflict going on, the conflict of the ages between good and evil, light and darkness, between God and Satan. And it reveals that there are satanic forces and that there are heavenly forces. And what had happened was this. It seems very simple in a way, and yet it reveals a great deal. This angel says that he had been sent to answer Daniel's prayer. He said, from the very first day that you set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before God, your words were heard, and I was sent out as a messenger to answer. But on the way, my pathway was blocked, and I couldn't get through to you. That's an amazing statement, is it not? Now, doesn't that throw some light on what Paul says to you and me in the 6th chapter of Ephesians? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now here's principalities again. These different gradations of demons today. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now here again, there is that warfare. maybe this explains the reason that your prayer and my prayer didn't get answered. Maybe this is the reason that prayer doesn't mean more to you and me than it does, and it ought to mean a great deal more, because actually prayer is fighting a spiritual battle all the time. That's exactly what prayer is. Paul made that very clear, that he was fighting that kind of a battle all the time, and he asks that they join him in prayer. He says in verse 30 of the 15th chapter of Romans, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Now that word strive, we get our word agony from it. You're to agonize with me in prayer. You know, prayer's been made a sort of a light sort of thing today. Most of the prayers I hear are either very flowery or very theological. And I think we could do without both of them these days. Prayer is agonizing. It's getting through these barriers today that will release spiritual power. And this idea of getting up on Sunday morning and entertaining the Lord with flowery language. And it's all like hipsy-dipsy. It's a nice, sweet little thing. Or trying to be very profound and theological. Friends, we're fighting a spiritual battle today. And Daniel now is told by this angel, he said, "Now, when you began to pray, God sent me to answer your prayer. But on the way, the prince of the kingdom of Persia stood against me." Now, who is he? Well, he's one of the minions of Satan, one of the demons. We've said before that Satan has his demons organized. God has his. And they're in gradations, like you'd be in the army. They're generals, and then there are colonels, and then there are lieutenants, and then there are second lieutenants and sergeants and so on. And apparently, this angel was outranked by the chief prince of Persia, and he couldn't get through. So he had to send back for reinforcements. In fact, Michael, the archangel, had to come to open up the way for him. Now, why would the way be blocked? Well, to begin with, Daniel is going to be given information here about the kingdom of Persia, first of all, as well as Greece. We'll see that when we get to chapter 11. And naturally, Satan didn't want that information gotten out. It was secret information, you see, and it was not to be revealed. It was not part of the Pentagon Papers. It was secret, very secret indeed. And he didn't want that information released. And now God wanted the information gotten through to Daniel. And so this angel is outranked, and he has to send for reinforcements. And then we find that reinforcements come, but there's still a problem there. And there had to be some matters settled, we're told. "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Apparently, there was a conflict going on there. There needed to be some heavenly forces to help. Why? Well, the fact of the matter is, that's where Daniel is at this particular time. And it was about the time that he had the experience of being put in the lion's den. So you see, the Lord was active on his behalf without Daniel knowing anything about it at all. And we need to recognize today as believers that our warfare really is a spiritual warfare. And it's amazing how many times the devil cuts off, short circuits, our prayer life. And one of the reasons today that public prayer and prayer meetings are so dead is because those that go there just go to say some pretty little prayers, and they do not realize that there's a battle going on, and there's a war that must be won, and they do not realize that at all. Listen to Paul again in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 3. Listen to this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Friends, the Christian life is a bigger undertaking than any of us ever dreamed that it is. Oh, that you and I might recognize how we need the power of the Holy Spirit today in our lives, and how we need the presence of Christ today. There's a spiritual warfare going on, and some apparently don't seem to be conscious of it at all.